Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much that you have drawn us together today as believers in Jesus Christ, as families in Jesus' name, to worship the one true and living God. Lord, we pray that as we open your word and seek to understand what your word teaches us, that you will enlighten us, open our eyes, that we might see Jesus and live with the eternal life that you've given us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, it's that time of year again when the Mississippi River rises. It's a time when the levees get a little bit compressed with the waters coming in, and I think this week they opened up the Bonnie Carey Spillway, if I'm not mistaken. And it got me thinking about the Mississippi River a little bit as I was working on my message this week. And Brother Chaz has taught me on several fishing trips we've been on how the river works. And he shared with me some interesting information, and I'm going to pass it along to you. And I think it's pretty pertinent to what we're talking about today. If you understand the river and that the reason the river looks so dirty is because it is dirty. There's lots of dirt in the water and silt and nutrients and stuff in the water. And that's why it's nice, rich chocolate milk and brown. But that is what, that's not necessarily bad, because those things in the river are what supply a lot of good things down in our delta area. Now, you know that many years ago, and Brother Chaz, you can correct me, because you know a lot more about this than I do. But years ago, before there were levees, the South Louisiana used to flood. And before that great, I think it was 1927 flood, that whole South Louisiana area would fill up with the Mississippi River because the water would rise. But at the end of that, while that was not a great thing and it bothered many people, at the end of that, it would leave lots of rich sediment throughout the southern parts of Louisiana. Since we have levied the river, erosion has greatly increased, and some problems have happened because that rich sediment and nutrients and the richness that the river naturally brought down is not being distributed in the way that it was designed to do. Now, with that in mind, I am thankful that you grandparents are here today with your family, many of you. But this is not merely a message for just grandparents, but I will reference you because in a lot of ways we as people have a rich and nutritious wealth of wisdom that needs to be brought from one generation to the next. And we are God's designed vehicle to do that. Parents, you are God's designed vehicle to bring the message of God's grace and His blessing from generation to generation. So what I'd like to do this morning is, with that theme in mind of bringing the message of God's blessing and His rich blessing, and not letting us end in a channel, in a levied up channel, but let us be ones who distribute the blessing of who God is to those who come behind us, generation after generation. I believe that you'll see in the scripture, this is what we see as the way that God designed it for us. So if you are with me this morning and you are ready to dig into the scripture, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to begin there, and that's the passage that Jeff read for us earlier today. And we're going to begin there, and I have a basic outline this morning for us. We won't be walking through a passage as we typically do, but we will be walking through a lot of scripture. And the basic outline today begins with, we are blessed. We are blessed. And I want us to see that in the scripture, that there is a rich blessing that God has placed upon His people. And if you are one of His children today, as we've looked at through the scripture in the first chapter of John, if you are one of His children today, you are richly blessed. You are muddied water, if you will, full of blessing. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, let's see how he says it. He begins by saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, God is the source and the beginning of all blessing, but He doesn't just hoard it. He doesn't just keep His joy and His grace and His glory to Himself. What does the Lord do? He showers down blessings upon us. How about that? Blessed be the God and Father, the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what, church?
Blessed us.
He's one who has showered down His blessing upon us. And how has He done that? This is really important. This is going to be the most important part of the trek through Scripture today. So don't miss this. Who has blessed us how? Somebody's here this morning, but only like three of you. He has blessed us how?
In Christ.
Thank you. He has blessed us in Christ, and that is significant. The richness of God's blessing comes in one way, and it comes through Jesus Christ. This is something that so many people can miss. And so many things are done here in our culture, in our churches, that are good things. And there are many good things in our world. But I want to encourage you, don't miss the great for the good. Don't get trapped by the good that you miss the great. And Jesus Christ and knowing Him is the great thing. And church, I want to tell you and declare to you that God our Father has blessed us richly in Christ Jesus. And it is because we know our Lord Jesus Christ that everything else makes sense. There's something good about having a job. There's something good about having a family. There's something good about eating boiled crawfish in crawfish season and a king cake. Those are good things. But they're not great. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing. And do you see the difference? King cake and crawfish are great. I'm sorry, they're good. But the spiritual blessings, the blessings that last more than the hour or 2 hours that you can enjoy that crawfish boil, more than the 3 months that you enjoy or 2 months that you enjoy that king cake season. These are spiritual blessings that are given to us that last not a lifetime, friends, but how long, church? An eternity. Blessed be the God and Father who has blessed us in the Lord Jesus Christ with every spiritual blessing. They are spiritual and they are eternal blessings in the heavenly places. They are not of this world. Families, you're here today. Family is a great thing. It's great to have family. But it's not the greatest thing. And the greatest thing is Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the eternal blessings He's given us. Let's keep reading. Verse 4, y'all still with me? Even as He chose us in Him. Oh, the grace of God. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world. How amazing is the love of God, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. Look at this. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. In love, God set forth that we be His family. Christian, that you be His family. That you be adopted into the family of God. Let me say it again. You are blessed. Christian, you are richly, richly blessed. You are part of the family of God through, and what does it say there in verse 5? Through Jesus Christ. There it is again. Do we see that our blessings are coming through our Lord Jesus Christ? You cannot climb your way to heaven. You cannot good deeds your way to heaven. You cannot church your way to heaven. You can only be adopted into heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what the Scripture teaches. And look why we're adopted into the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it say? According to what? The purpose of His will. And we read that this morning in John. Not by the will of man, not by flesh, but by the will of God. Here it is again, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace. And this is why we gather, Christians, on Sunday morning, to praise His glorious grace together. Because we can do it better together than we can alone. To the praise of His glorious grace, and watch this, with which He has what?
Blessed
us. And here it is again, in what? The beloved. And who is the beloved? Jesus Christ, our Lord. I don't know of a passage that could make it more clear to us. Grandmother, grandfather, son and daughter, grandson and granddaughter, you are blessed in Christ Jesus. If you are not in Christ Jesus today, you are missing. You are missing out on the greatest eternal blessing that you could know. And I want to invite you, as Jesus would, to come, surrender, and know that He died. He died for sin, and for all that who would believe in Him would be adopted into His family. Will you be saved? Will you be part of the blessing? Will you be part of the beloved? Will you be part of the family of God? Will you surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, follow Him, and be part of His family? Look in verse 7. In Him, this is what happens. In Him we have redemption through His blood, and this is it. If you are willing to surrender yourself to Him, you have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of your trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us. This is not just a blessing. This is a rich, lavished blessing. This is not a blessing we can comprehend with crawfish and king cake. This is an eternal spiritual blessing that He's lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth for us. How, church? In Christ. There it is again. Do you see the Christ-centeredness of the blessing of God as a plan for the fullness of time to unite, to draw us together as a family? And we're together as a family today. Generations are together as a family today worshiping. But here's the Lord saying, I'm uniting everyone together, all generations, in Christ. To the praise of His glorious grace, that I might lavish upon you the glory of Jesus Christ. This is good. Can a Christian say amen?
Amen.
Amen. This is beautiful. Beautiful. Oh, Christian, I hope this humbles you greatly. Think about it. You are blessed, it says, over and over. You are blessed. Think of the weight of this. It's not that you've earned something or that you're given a wage, as Paul would say. The wage we earn is our condemnation, our death. But he says we're blessed. We receive a blessing. We are blessed. Oh, the character and the nature of God to bless us. And you know that I'm not talking about blessings like fancy stuff that you can put on your house or put on your walls or a fancy new car. A lot of the blessings that you might hear about on TV or in books or on the radio. I'm talking about the blessing of God. A rich knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, it's glorious. We are blessed. All right. Now, why are we blessed? Let's look at this. The first point I told you today was, you are what? Blessed. You're the receiving end of a blessing of God. You are receiving the blessing of God, but you're not merely blessed to just be blessed. The next idea biblically that we're going to look at is, you are blessed to be a blessing. God has not blessed us just to receive and receive and receive and have and have and be a glutton or be a drunkard on blessing. No. As we look in the scripture, we will find out that we are blessed in order to be a conduit, a river of life, if you will. A river of blessing. And we are rich like the Mississippi River with the blessings. But it's not ours to keep channeled within ourselves. It is ours to share and to replenish and bring life to the deltas of our life. To the places that we go, to the places that we, to our families and the places that we visit, we are to bring the blessing. We are blessed to bless. Look in Genesis, if you will, chapter 27. Genesis 27, we go back to the book of beginnings, Genesis, and we're going to see just, boy, in Moses' writings in the beginning, this principle of blessing to be, being blessed to be a blessing, it's there biblically. Church, you are blessed in Christ to bless in Christ. You are blessed in Christ to bless in Christ. Look in Genesis 27, verse 27. This is Isaac blessing his son. This particular one is Jacob. He'll bless them both, but he blesses Jacob here. So he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed Jacob, thinking it was Esau. But nonetheless, he knew he needed to bless his son. And in verse 28, he says this, "May God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth, and the plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you." And how does he end it? "Blessed be everyone who blesses you." Isaac understood that the blessing of God's promise that was given to Abraham and then to Isaac wasn't supposed to end with him. He was passing that on from generation to generation. Look what Jacob does. Genesis 49. The whole chapter is pretty much Jacob blessing his 12 sons. All of these are the 12 tribes of Israel. This is what their father said to them as he blessed them, blessing each of them with the blessing suitable to him. The blessing does not end with Jacob. It does not end with Joseph. It does not end with that generation, but it continues on. And we even get into Deuteronomy. And Moses knows. He knows the principle. Look at Deuteronomy 33:1. This is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the people of Israel before his death. This is not a new principle. This is ages and ages old. God has blessed us to be a blessing. We look at these verses. Church, you see them? And we look at these verses. And our theme this year is what? Live generously. And we understand this principle that the Lord has not just blessed us so that our buckets are overflowing, but He has blessed us that His blessings might flow through us from generation to generation, from people to people. Y'all remember King David, right? He understood. 2 Samuel 9, verse 3. And the king said, this is David. He had a great friend named Jonathan, a friend who risked his life for him. And David said, "I want to bless." Jonathan died in battle, and he couldn't bless his family. "I want to take that role and bless Jonathan's generations." How's that sound, church? How's that sound? Somebody can't be a blessing, so I'm going to step up, and I'm going to be that blessing. Jonathan blessed me. I'm not going to just store that blessing up. I'm going to take that blessing and I'm going to pour it out upon his generations that followed him. And so what does he do? He finds one of Jonathan's relatives, grandchildren, and takes him in. He's a crippled man named Mephibosheth. He takes him in and look, he says, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I might show kindness or favor of God to him?" Living generously? You betcha. The priesthood understood that we were not to be an end of the blessing. And look, I'm giving you example and example. There are countless examples in the scripture of people blessing others. Look at this beautiful blessing. And I've prayed it over you, and it's just a special, it's a great blessing. Numbers 6, verse 22. This is the blessing that the priest would give to the people. The house of Israel. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel." See, the priesthood was blessed and given special privilege in the people of Israel. They were given a special place. Not so that people could look at them and say, "Wow, how great are the priests," but so that the priest could take the blessing of God and say, "Here is our God. Know him through what we do." And here's what they said to them. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." Let's put all this together. I spent the first few minutes of our message saying, you are what? You are blessed. And you are blessed how? In Christ. You are blessed in Christ to be a blessing in Christ. And you see biblically, and we could keep going. You see biblically how all of this fits together. God blessed Abraham. And it didn't end. Went through Isaac, went through Jacob, and went through Jacob's offspring. But I want to, for you grandparents who are here today, I want to give you one neat little story. If I might. Can I do that? Genesis 48. Genesis 48. This is Jacob. Genesis 48, verse 3. Let me read you this, and I just want you to see what's happening. Jacob is going to essentially adopt his grandchildren. Watch this. "And Jacob said to Joseph, 'God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and did what? He blessed me. And he said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make you a company of peoples, and I will give this land to your offspring after you for an everlasting possession. And now your two sons," speaking to Joseph, "and now your two sons who were born of you in the land of Egypt, before I came to you in Egypt," what's he say? "They're mine. Ephraim and Manasseh shall be mine, as Reuben and Simeon are." Now, I can't get into all of the details of how this works out and how some of the sons are disobedient and how this all is working out, but what's important for us to see is this. Jacob adopts his foreigner grandchildren. You say, "Well, foreigner, what?" Well, remember, Joseph did not marry a Hebrew woman. He had an Egyptian wife. Look in verse 8. "When Israel saw Joseph's sons," that's Jacob, "when he saw Joseph's sons, he said, 'Who are these?' Joseph said to his father, 'These are my sons, whom God has given me here.' And he said, 'Bring them to me, please.'" Why? "That I may bless them." Let me tell you what a joy it is to see in this church some of you grandparents who have adopted your grandchildren, who have said, "I'm going to bring them to church every week, and it's going to be an effort, and it's going to be hard, Some of you grandmothers who are praying on your knees daily for your grandchildren, praying, oh God, save their souls. Some of you who make extra effort every week to go and serve your family. This is what it's all about. This is living generously. It's about saying, I care. And as God has blessed me and adopted me, and I'm the receiver of the blessing, I am blessed of God. Grandparents, you have such a privilege, such an opportunity. It just should make us all just step back in awe for just a moment and say, I have the opportunity to downstream, downriver, be a blessing that I never dreamed that I could do. I have a way that I can pour into those downstream from me and bring life unto them. Bring the nutrients and the sustenance that will bring joy and everlasting life to those who come after me. Spiritually blessing your children and your grandchildren. Is that good? Is that good? And there you see it, right there, Jacob adopting his grandsons and blessing them as his own children. He blessed them. So grandparents, let me encourage and challenge you with one thing this morning. I know that you love to spoil your grandchildren, and your parents just love that. Your grandchildren love it even more. But I want to encourage you to not miss spiritually spoiling your grandchildren and those who you are caring for. What I mean by that, I mean put the same effort to lavish upon them spiritual blessings as you lavish upon them material blessings. Lavish as God has lavished upon us, we lavish upon the downstream generations the spiritual blessing that we can. Because you have a special role in the lives of your grandchildren. May I remind you of the words of Jesus. May I remind you and make it abundantly clear to you that Jesus told us it is more blessed to give than to receive. Can we say that together? It is more blessed to give than to receive. And we can give a legacy of spiritual life, spiritual hope to our downstream generations. Now, you are blessed in Christ to be a blessing in Christ. Let's look quickly back at Genesis chapter 12, because this is where it all started, and I want to show you something. I saved it for last, and I want to show you something in this passage just to underscore Genesis 12 verse 2. Genesis 12 verse 2, the Lord tells Abraham, or Abram at this time, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. We are blessed in Christ to be a blessing. Now let me tie something in with this. This is really neat. Remember that phrase, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. Now let's tie this back in together. Paul interprets this in Galatians chapter 3. Watch this. Have you ever tied this together? Watch it. Galatians chapter 3 verse 9. The Lord told Abram, thousands of years earlier, I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. Paul comes in Galatians chapter 3 verse 9, and he says this, so then, those who are of faith, here it is, those who are Christian, those who are in the faith, those who have been adopted, those who are the church, what about them? They are blessed along with Abraham. You, Christian, you are blessed in the same way that Abraham was blessed. And if we read Paul properly, then what we understand is being blessed, we are then to be that blessing. And so I want to encourage all of us, grandparents and the rest of the church alike, think downstream. God has blessed us with His Son. He has blessed us, church, to know His Son, and we are humbled to know His Son. Think downstream. How can we get the message of the cross, the message of eternal life, the message that Jesus saves downstream and in the Delta, in the Mississippi Delta? How can we do it? How can you personally take the richness of the gospel of Jesus Christ and live it out and share the message? How can you do it? How can we be thinking downstream? How can you live generously this year with the gospel of Jesus Christ? How can you sacrifice hours to proclaim eternal life to those who need to hear it? How can you sacrifice resources, time, effort downstream to the generations that are rising up after us and say, you need the gospel? How can you do it? I can tell you there are ways to plug in this church weekly for you to do that. You have families that have been given to you. You can daily plug into. You can weekly plug into. You can monthly plug into. Pour into them the gospel. It's what they need. Let me close with the rest of that Ephesians passage. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Y'all still with me? Here it is. This is the rest of the passage. I just want to read it because it's so rich. As we think about how can we be a blessing downstream, hear these words. In Him, in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Christian, you are part of the counsel of His will, meaning He has chosen you to do things that bless others in Christ. So that we who were the first to hope in Christ Jesus might be to the praise of His glory. In Him also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who's the guarantee, who's the down payment, who is the first fruits of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. Let me encourage you once again and say, if you are not a part of the family of God, if you are not a Christian, one who has surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, one who has not repented of your sin and come to Jesus and said, I'm a sinner, forgive me, receive me, that I might be your child and live in your way and submit myself to you. The great blessing that he talks about in verse 13 is that when we believed him, we were now sealed and become part of his family. And I pray and hope that will be you. The gospel of Jesus Christ will save you from eternal damnation and give you eternal life. There is nothing, there is no blessing that is greater than this. Church, can we say amen to that?
Amen.
Knowing Jesus is knowing eternal life. Praise be to the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, thank you for blessing us. Thank you for blessing us in Christ. Thank you for blessing us in Christ to be a blessing in Christ. Lord, may we leave the people of God. May we leave as the people of God being a blessing in a world that needs to see Jesus. Help us to think downstream and bring the rich message of the gospel to those who need to hear it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.